Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. He's traveling. He's in Chile, but all eyes on Venezuela. Caracas. Reuters. Former Venezuelan lawmaker Maria Corina Machado, who has declared victory in a primary to choose the opposition's 2024 presidential candidate, defended the vote against government accusations that it violated an electoral deal. Professor, what I understand is Ms. Machado is very popular, very well known, and has now emerged as the chief candidate of the opposition in the vote in the election that takes place next year. At the same time, Nicolas Maduro, the president, although it's not a legitimate president, says the United States, has declared Ms. Machado not eligible to run in the presidential election next year. Then enters the United States and its allies to provide leverage on Mr. Maduro, saying, we'll lift sanctions if. I'll stop there because it can get complicated. First, who is Maria Corina Machado? What does she represent to the Venezuelan people? What is her vision for the country, a deeply troubled country with more than 7 million people fleeing the poverty, the collapse of the medical system, and the brutality of Maduro? Thank you.
Maria Corina Machado is a former legislator and industrial engineer, and once she was seen as one of the more conservative candidates within the Venezuelan opposition, which is a diverse opposition, she has really emerged as the spokesperson for the frustrations of many Venezuelans who are not in league with Maduro. And I should say that in addition to capturing something like 93% of the votes, just an overwhelming choice of her to represent the combined opposition. The actual vote itself really happened against every possible attempt of the Venezuelan Maduro government to stop it or delay it. Initially, they tried to say that they couldn't have this primary. Then they tried to delay and insist that the Venezuelan state would help the opposition in ways in which the opposition was not comfortable. And so the opposition ended up having to come up entirely with something, a primary vote funded by themselves. This was a vote with 3,100 voting sites across Venezuela, in addition to polling those almost 8 million Venezuelans who are abroad across 28 countries to find their position on the vote. Miraculously, with the exception of some problems with servers that delayed the reporting of a few votes, but in general, it was not only that the vote occurred within a day, the results came in relatively quickly. Participation was actually almost double what was expected, so indicating kind of the vibrancy of democracy within that part of Venezuela. But of course, the Maduro machine is set in. Jorge Rodriguez, Maduro's dark knight, is tried to say that the vote was somehow a big sham, something which of course Machado and others have obviously said is absurd. But so it goes forward at this point. Now, what is not clear is what the path is from here, because on the one hand, even before the vote, when it was clear that Machado would win, she has been technically invalidated from participation. Rodriguez has already said that they would not recognize Maria Corina Machado or others, if they were elected. So it's not clear. Now, on the other hand, the U.S. in trying to incentivize Maduro to move towards elections at the end of 2024 as a goodwill gesture, has lifted a broad range of oil sanctions for the next 6 months that would really freeze up PDVSA to sell a lot of oil, not just to Chevron, not just to Total and Eni for past debts, but a broad range of different transactions which are going to add a lot of money to the coffers of Maduro and help to strengthen his regime, on the hope that they will do certain things that they've already said that they're not going to do, on the hopes that they would, by the end of November, undo this inhabilitation of Maria Corina Machado, and that they would allow these free elections to take place. And so the question now becomes, in 2024, will the Biden administration, once it's clear that Venezuela, that Maduro is not going to honor these commitments, will the U.S. Put sanctions back on? Will it reverse those sanctions? Will it wait 6 months to do so? So really, what is the path forward? I think we're moving towards a bit of a train wreck here in terms of an inhabilitated candidate that the Maduro regime has said that they are not going to recognize as a candidate, who's clearly been chosen by a large number of mobilized Venezuelans to go against Maduro. And then in that, to what degree, will the U.S. Kind of wince and go with it or slap, put the sanctions back on? So we've got a rough ride in Venezuela in the next couple of months.
Venezuela is, in addition to the brutality and the driving away of its own citizens, many of whom are abiding in the United States right now. In addition to all that, It is deeply in debt. I don't see how it can get out of this debt. It's Argentina too, and it's worse because its trading partners are malign actors. So is this sanctions lifting by the U.S., is that going to answer this debt this crushing debt that is incurred? As I understand, their oil requires refineries that were built for it in the United States. I don't know if those refineries are elsewhere in the world. But in any event, the idea that oil is going to be the fix seems optimistic. Is that accurate, Professor?
It is accurate, John, and I think it is not going to resolve any aspects of the debt crisis, although there are some hopeful investors. It will probably pour money into the coffers of the Maduro regime without paying off the creditors, and that's really been the track record for many years now. So already something like $90 billion in outstanding foreign debt. I think $13 billion alone is owed by the Venezuelan Petroleum Organization, CITGO. CITGO is in U.S. courts who are moving towards basically selling it off to pay a small number of creditors. The Biden administration has actually agreed to maintain legal protections against selling CITGO off until January 2024. But it appears that over the long range that Venezuela is a prime petroleum asset will be sold off. And so a few people will get paid. But at the end of the day, doesn't appear that the sanctions lifting will really do much more than have some short term opportunities, basically to pass money not only to the Europeans with Eni and Repsol and not only to Chevron, but also it would appear to Russia and China, who appear to be taking these signals to the reintroduction of Venezuela into the Latin American community and U.S. gestures that seem to be lifting pressure. And that seems to have emboldened already, Russia, who has long kind of illicitly taken ship-to-ship transfers of Venezuelan oil, as well as China, who's proceeded cautiously to induce them to move more boldly in reactivating their credit lines and engagement with Venezuela. So that also strengthens the Venezuelans. It's a relatively rough path going forward, but one that would seem to strengthen the Maduro regime without either bringing democracy or allowing any of the bulk of Venezuela's creditors owed billions of dollars to get paid.
I note that in the past week, the news from Moscow was that the Kremlin is expecting a visit by Nicolas Maduro, talking about further cooperation. We already established that Caracas was welcoming to elements of the Tehran regime in addition to the Hezbollah, the gangsters of Lebanon. I don't have immediately the interest that China has in Venezuela, but Russia's plenty. This moves Venezuela into the enemy camp. If I'm overreading this, I please forgive me. But moving into the enemy camp, does that mean that the U.S. must now regard the Caracas regime as a member of the same coalition that's making war in Europe?
Well, Venezuela has long been in that camp, John, although, formally tied necessarily to Russia's invasion. But rumors certainly that Venezuelan drones contributed to that. But we can recall that even at the beginning of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, you had trips by Russian ministers and deputy ministers to Venezuela agreeing to strengthen defense cooperation, just as they did with Nicaragua and to a certain extent Cuba. You had, of course, recently the trip by Ebrahim Raisi of Iran to Venezuela, and of course the role that Iran is now playing in the Middle East, backing Hezbollah and Hamas in the terrorist war against Israel, and of course Venezuela's collaboration on the one hand with Iranian the co-development of Iranian armed drones, as well as collaboration on oil and other issues, and the long-standing role of Venezuela serving as a point of entry for Iranian special forces, Quds forces, coming in to the region, as well as collaboration with the Venezuelan-operated airline Amtrasur, which we found taking Hezbollah and other Iran-affiliated operatives around the Americas to places like the tri-border area in Argentina. And so there's a long-standing collaboration of Venezuela militarily and otherwise with Russia, Iran, and other actors. I mean, even back when I was on the policy planning staff of Secretary Pompeo during the Trump administration, that was long the case. And that was one of the reasons, there is the desire to try to isolate Venezuela as much as possible to reduce its ability to do mischief in the region and globally, and even if regime change itself couldn't be achieved. And so it's increasingly apparent that the level of the problem, and Maduro's visit to Putin farther reinforces that, as the world with what's going on both in Russia and in Iran continues to be an even more dangerous place.
There's a drought in the Americas. There's El Nino talk in Australia. Very likely El Nino is already visiting the southern hemisphere. That means drier and hotter. The drought is profound in the Amazon, in Brazil, of course, in Bolivia. But there's a drought in Panama. So when we come back, the drought, damaging, threatening, changing the prospects for the Americas. This is the New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.